Improving health literacy, the ability to understand and act on health information, is key to improving health outcomes and lowering costs. Welcome to the Health Literacy 2.0 podcast, the podcast series from EdLogix, where we talk with business, HR, health, and community leaders and explore unique, data-driven, and effective behavior-changing solutions that can help improve people's health literacy and increase their engagement with health and wellness programs. For show notes and bonus resources, visit www.edlogix.com/podcast. Okay, let's get started.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another podcast on Health Literacy 2.0 and Improving Workforce Health. I'm Seth Sirksner, Chief Health Officer at EdLogix, and I'm so pleased to be joined by my colleague and friend, J.R. Locke, who's the VP of Community Development at EdLogix. So, J.R., thanks for taking the time. You know, you and I have gotten to know each other over now it's a little more than a year, but for everyone listening, could you get into a little bit of your background and what's brought you to this position that you're in today?
Well, sure. Well, first of all, thank you, Seth, for the opportunity to come on your podcast and talk about health and health literacy. It certainly is a top subject today for many companies as well as communities and individuals who are concerned about living healthier lives. So I really appreciate this opportunity to come on. My background is somewhat varied, but it has a focus in healthcare because I was once employed with the Colonial Life and Accident. Mm-hmm. You may have heard of them.
Yeah.
Where I provided these supplemental health plans to companies where individuals would actually, you know, take out coverages through payroll deduction and provide them with compensation for accidents that maybe their typical healthcare program did not cover. Worked for them for about 7 years. And then I had an opportunity to work for Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And I don't know where it started, but I always had a desire to work for Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And I finally got the opportunity to do so and took my first position with them in North Virginia and working as an account representative, marketing their group health plans to companies on the peninsula, as well as, you know, the south side and the northern, what we call northern neck of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And did that for about 10 years and had the opportunity. I was talking to a colleague and he had asked me, did I know Tom Chamberlain? And this is after I had left Blue Cross and Blue Shield and worked with Hampton University in the Office of Development. And in that position, as you know, it's about raising money.
Yeah.
And I was working with our School of Pharmacy and helping to raise money for our School of Pharmacy. And this colleague asked me, did I know Tom Chamberlain? I told him, no. He says, well, you know, with you working with the School of Pharmacy at Hampton University, maybe you should meet him, because he is a pharmacist by trade, and he has this unique platform and gamification that I think you just need to know about. You guys need to know each other. And so I said, well, great. He gave me his telephone number, and I called Tom and didn't get an answer. I left a message for him, and I saw Jim at an event we had at Hampton University about a year later.
Oh, a year later. Okay, nice.
You ever talked to Tom Chamberlain? And I said, matter of fact, I didn't. I called him and left a message and never heard from him. So I'm going to give him another call. But I found out Tom at the time was out of the country. And that's how he met one of your colleagues. I think it was Jody.
Yeah.
He met her when he was traveling abroad.
Right.
And when I called him this time, he actually answered the telephone and told him a little bit about myself. And I told him our mutual friend had recommended that we meet each other. And he said, great, let's have lunch. And we did. And he showed me the concept of the platform, his digital platform. I thought it was one of the greatest things I have seen in healthcare. Here's a platform that can help people become more knowledgeable about living healthier lives and having fun doing so.
Yeah, I love it.
That's the most intriguing part I think that the platform offers people is an opportunity to learn more about their health, how to live healthier lives, and have fun doing so.
I love that story. We had Tom on the podcast, and for anybody listening, there's an episode early on, like episode 2 or 3, to hear from Tom Chamberlain, the CEO of Edlogix. But to kind of get into health literacy, you were alluding to gamification. We've been talking about this thing called health literacy 2.0. The idea that I think a lot of people think of health literacy and they think of kind of boring patient education and little tear offs or some scribble a doctor makes. And I'd call that health literacy 1.0. 2.0 is taking behavioral science and gamifying things, adding data to make it personalized and really interesting. And of course, having multimedia, videos, things like infographics, deep content for people who really want to read more, but short little things for most people who are just trying to get the basic ideas. So this 2.0 has really been kind of operationalized and illustrates really well at Edlogix. And you mentioned both for employers and the community. But I'd love for you to talk, JR, especially because you talked about community development as your role, to talk a little bit about what's going on in the community around health literacy and why we even think that's an important thing to do to improve the overall health and well-being of the population.
Well, that certainly is a great segue to talk about, you know, why we're doing what we do. And as you know, healthcare is costing the U.S. an enormous amount of money. I mean, it's somewhere in excess of $200 billion a year. You know, statistics say it's around $238 billion for those conditions that's preventable. And just think about people being able to prevent these particular diseases or conditions, and that money can be used for other things.
Exactly.
Going to communities, housing, food, just a numerous amount of areas that can really benefit people's lives. And so with that, you know, the 2.0 is something that most companies still have not gravitated to, as you know.
Yeah.
Many companies still operate on 1.0, pointing employees to websites, you know, giving them pamphlets and brochures and telling them to go read this. And one problem, as you know, a lot of people don't read.
Nobody wants to take the time anymore. They're looking at their phones or relying on a provider, and the providers are busy and they're sending them. So it is a big gap.
And so with 2.0, it's really moving in, I would call, the modern era and exposing people to methodologies of learning that really can adapt to their way of learning. I mean, for example, with our platform, it is this vast amount of knowledge and opportunities for people to learn in a variety of ways, because what we found that basically people learn in three different ways. Some people like to read, some people like to watch videos, and what we find most exciting, a lot of them like to play games.
It's so interesting because I think when you say games, people picture solitaire and Candy Crush.
Okay.
Can you explain, when we say a game, explain what these health games are and how people can learn from a game?
Well, it's tied into what you call game-based learning. And so it's providing a game that offers the opportunity for someone to select their game, because we have, you know, 8 to 10 different games that consumers can select from, and finding that game that as you go through it, you have an opportunity to have access to health information where you're learning about various health conditions, you learn about healthcare trends, and you're having an opportunity to have fun while you're engaging in that particular game. And the biggest part about it is incentivized, where we have prizes, cash prizes that you have access of winning, as well as other types of prizes. Like one month, we gave away a stay at a luxurious hotel that somebody won as an incentive. And so we found that when you have incentives, not only does it excite people, but it makes them want to learn more because they feel like they can win something. And so the game-based learning is just based on a methodology of having fun and engaging games so that people can learn at the same time.
So, yeah, I mean, I know we give points and things like that. And then depending on where you are, what company you're with, or what community, there's different types of rewards. My favorite game, I'd be curious what your game is. I think Fact or Myth is the one that always gets me. So to explain to people, so let's say I'm trying to learn about blood pressure, you know, 120 over 80, the normal, or
yes,
salt affects blood pressure, or being fit, all these things. And you have to say whether it's like true or false. That, well, it's kind of fun for me. And it gets a little harder and harder each time.
Fact or Myth started out as my favorite game.
Okay.
But as I got more and more into our platform, I really do love Health Champion. And yeah, I think it's because of the sound effects that's actually attached to the game that makes it sound exciting, because that's one of the things that people like about our platform, that it gives you like live sound effects in the background to just help you get more excited about it.
So the Health Champion is kind of like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Like, gets harder and harder.
Usually it's multiple choice types of questions, such as it'll give you questions such as, all right, is prostate cancer a form of your liver or your lungs, or is it part of your prostate? I mean, it gives you those types of questions and gives you an opportunity to answer, select which one it is. And so there's questions like that, that I think because of the multiple choice types of questions, I just find it very intriguing and engaging. And again, I think it's the sound effects that's behind it that helps get people excited about it. And so you combine that with an opportunity. Every time you go through a module, you earn a ticket into a random drawing. And at the end of the month, you know, we give away $500. And at the end of the year, we have another random drawing where we give away $5,000. And so that is a very exciting opportunity that people find fun.
So, JR, we believe that health literacy is a pathway to health equity and to helping underserved populations, let alone, you know, 1 in 10 Americans are not health literate, but certainly underserved populations could benefit from a platform like this, learning more about their health, helping their families, providers, all the rest. So I know in the community, at least in this Virginia Hampton Roads area, we're doing some cool stuff. Talk a little bit about what that is and kind of who you meet with. What are some of the events look like?
Well, when you think about the total concept, Seth, of building a healthy community, when we launched the program where we call Healthier 757, and the reason that we call it Healthier 757 is because in the Hampton Roads area, we actually comprise 7 different cities. You know, Norfolk, Virginia Beach, Portsmouth, Chesapeake, Suffolk, Virginia, and Virginia Beach. You know, those 7 cities comprise Hampton Roads. Well, the region have been struggling over the last, I'm going to say 50 years or so, about a name that other people outside of this region can identify this area. And so they came up with the 757 because it seems that the millennials have identified this area by that. People ask them, well, where are you from? I'm from the 757.
Okay.
And so that name has resonated with a lot of people, and the regional leaders have selected that particular verbiage as the name that we want to be identified with outside of this area. And so we actually named our program Healthier 757. And so when I go out in the community and talk to people about it, it's really a mixture that combines 2 divisions, because we have a commercial division and then we have a community division. And the community division is our Healthier 757 banner, and our commercial division is basically under our technology called Rewards for Healthy Living. And so with the community platform, it's a really an interesting job because Tom, he's teased me from time to time and says, you know, you really have a good job because the only thing you have to do is go out and talk about the good things that we do. And I told him that's very true.
The 757, it's a free access funded by nonprofits and the health system and others in the spirit of providing access to people, right? That's the gist of the initiative.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned that because the free part came about really as a desire from our CEO to determine how can we as a company help to improve the health of our region. Because the same gentleman that really introduced both of us, he actually was a CEO of an initiative in this area called Reinvent Hampton Roads. And his responsibility was to go out and recruit companies to come to the area so that our region can become less dependent on military funding. Because for those listeners who may not be familiar with our area, we're one of the most heavily concentrated areas in the world with military installations. And so our economy has a direct linkage to the success of the national economy. When defense spending is up, our local economy does well. When defense industry is down, spending is down, budgets are cut, then our economy feels it likewise. And so regional leaders wanted to create an environment where we would become less dependent on the military spending and ups and downs and have more of a diverse economy. And one thing that this gentleman indicated when he saw our platform for the first time, he said, man, this is wonderful, because one of the challenges that he has when he tries to recruit companies to relocate to our area, the first question many CEOs ask is, how healthy is your workforce?
Right.
And unfortunately, if you are familiar with the heat maps, and I know you are.
Yeah, right.
But for those listeners who may not be familiar with heat maps, you can go on the internet and put in any city or town in America and find out what's the health status of that particular area. And it's measured by what they call heat maps, and it's color-coded. Your green is good, yellow is in between, red is bad. And so he indicated oftentimes when employers ask that question and they look at our area on the heat map, we have a lot of red.
Yeah.
So he said, man, if everybody in Hampton Roads, everybody in the 757 was on your platform, that would be one way we could show employers that we recognize the fact that we have an unhealthy economy, an unhealthy workforce, but this is what we're doing about it. And being able to show employers that we are trying to do something about it by creating access to everyone in Hampton Roads that can join our platform free of charge. It was just a really interesting philosophy to have, and we've embraced that.
So I love that idea of a healthy community means a healthy workforce brings in business. And I know we've been talking to the chamber, we're talking to all kinds of businesses to support it. So that's one piece. But the other piece then is it's funded through these other sources I mentioned. But we also need to drum up business. People don't just get on the platform out of nowhere, right? So we're talking to community stakeholders, faith leaders, colleges, different people. Who do you talk to? How are we getting the word out that we want people to jump on this platform and use it?
But that's a great question, because when you think about the global philosophy of building a healthy community, it's all about stakeholders buy-in, because it's not one particular industry. It's not one particular company. It's the entire community. So you talk about municipalities, your cities buying in and becoming a partner in this effort. You talk about schools. You mentioned the faith-based organizations. We started an initiative that's entitled Healthier 757 Faith-Based Initiative. And so that came about as we thought about, well, we're trying to reach people in the community, and we also want to have a reach into those lower socioeconomic neighborhoods and dealing with underserved communities. And what's the best way to try to reach those particular populations? And as we discussed it, we found out, well, one way to do so is through the church. Because if you're trying to reach people on a grassroots level, then you connect them through the church. And so we started this initiative and started meeting with pastors and familiarizing them with our platform and helping them to understand that a healthier congregation means a healthier church, you know, healthier church members. And that has resonated with many pastors who feel like, well, also, that is a biblical discipline that we have healthier members in our congregations. And so many of them have embraced the idea, and it's really catching on. And I feel like it's going to be one of our largest methodologies in getting people enrolled on the platform is through the faith-based community.
I love it because people talk about it. I mean, building community action is hard. You got to get out there and do it. We hold these events or we participate in events, a community event. I can't remember whether it was like a barbecue or a fair or something around heart health or something. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, we participate in a number of events. And initially, you know, we had to seek out opportunities to expose our platform to the community by going to health fairs, attending webinars. But I tell you, things have picked up to the point that people are finding out just the value that Healthier 757 offers, you know, consumers and citizens, that they're now asking us to participate in their health fairs. And health fairs, I mean, it's kind of like golf tournaments. You know, when the weather gets nice, you see them every place. You know, churches have health fairs, companies have health fairs, nonprofits have health fairs, and they invite vendors to come and participate. And for many of those health fairs, it's free to participate because those sponsoring organizations, they want to try to get as many organizations there as possible to come and expose their resources to their particular stakeholders. And so we are now getting asked very frequently to participate in health fairs so that people can learn about our platform.
As people are listening, building the community base and using faith-based leaders, health fairs, other means you can check out on healthier757.org is the website, JR?
That is the community website, yes. And that's where you can go and find out information about the initiative. If you just want to go and register and get on the platform, it's healthier757.com.
Right. But for most of you, just to learn about this initiative, and I will tell you that we are starting to hear from other communities that are very interested in this model and other businesses that are saying, we want to help our community. This has been really interesting to talk about it, JR. I learned a bunch of stuff just on this one.
Well, one of the things I want to say before we go, it's been one of our most interesting collaborations is that we've kind of joined partnerships with the Chamber of Commerce. And they felt like the platform was so powerful that they want to make it available to small businesses in the area to get familiarized. Because as you know, small businesses oftentimes cannot afford those benefit programs like major corporations can. And they found this is a viable opportunity to at least gain them access to some really valuable health information that's free of charge.
Yes, I love that. And that's only a recent development. And so we're rolling that out and those small businesses can make it available to their people. And that should be really interesting. So before we close out, any other comments you care to share before we go? We might need a part two on this.
This is really just the tip of the iceberg, what we've discussed today about what's going on here in Hampton Roads. We have an initiative that we're working with the governor's office where they launched a Healthier Petersburg initiative because Petersburg is probably about 60 minutes from us, but it's been identified as having one of the most unhealthiest populations in the state. Right. Diseases are running at a very high rate. Diabetes and blood pressure rates are through the roof. And so the governor has targeted Petersburg as an area that he really wants to make a model for the entire country as a healthy community. And so he's looked at our platform and really likes it and would like us to be a part of the Healthier Petersburg initiative and making our platform available to those residents.
Beautiful. So keep an eye out for that, everybody. JR, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I'm just so glad getting to know you and working with you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate your time. And we'll have some information posted about where to get in touch with a lot of this information as well.
Thanks for joining us today on the Health Literacy 2.0 podcast, the podcast series from EdLogix, where we talk with business, HR, health, and community leaders and explore unique, data-driven, and effective behavior-changing solutions that can help improve people's health literacy and increase their engagement with health and wellness programs. Remember, for show notes and bonus resources, visit www.edlogix.com/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe and share the show with your colleagues. Thanks, and see you soon.